Paranormal True Stories. Narrated by Paul Spera. Suspicious deaths in Dyatlov Pass. The Urals, the great mountain range separating Europe from Asia, has many charms for those who wish to practice mountaineering. There is no lack of mountains and passes to challenge the courage of hikers who dare to face it. In winter, the harshness of its climate makes it an inhospitable region, almost a desert. There are, however, many candidates for the ascent. But one day, in February 1959, a group of hikers died there in circumstances so tragic that they suggest that strange activities were taking place. For what is it that can terrorize a group of dynamic and trained hikers in the middle of the night? Why leave the safe shelter of a tent and go out into the snow? Why did the bodies bear atrocious wounds? How were they irradiated? What happened at that place that today bears the name of the expedition leader, the Dyatlov Pass? On January 25, 1959, a group of hikers arrives by train in Ivdel, a town in the Sverdlovsk region of the Urals. There are 10 of them, 8 men and 2 women, aged between 20 and 38, students or graduates of the Urals State Technical University. They are all experienced in cross-country and downhill skiing. This will be necessary, because at this time of the year in the Urals, the pass they are about to cross is classified as Category 3, the most difficult. The goal is to reach Otorten, on the slopes of Kolatsyakl, which means the Dead Mountain. Igor Dyatlov, 23 years old, is the leader of the expedition. Their trek begins on January 27th. The very next day, Yuri Yudin gives up the climb because his sciatica is causing him pain. The injury has just saved his life. On January 31st, the group, now down to 9 members, reaches a highland region and starts preparing for the ascent. It is 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit during the day and minus 16 degrees Fahrenheit at night. Then on February 1st, they begin the traverse of the pass itself as the weather conditions deteriorate. The blizzard and the lack of visibility lead them west. They decide to stop for the night and quickly set up their tent on the mountain slopes. They are only half a mile from a forest that could have sheltered them from the wind. Before their departure, the group had agreed to send a telegram as soon as it arrived in Otorten, no later than February 12th. No message arrives on that date, but no one worries inordinately. Delays are common in this kind of expedition. After a few days, however, the families become worried and ask for rescue teams. The army and the police are sent in. On February 26th, a rescue team finds an abandoned camp. The tent is ripped open and lacerated from the inside. The hikers have disappeared, but their equipment and shoes remain. They had left scantily clad and barefoot in negative degree weather. The rescuers look for footprints in the snow, but they've been covered. At the edge of a giant pine forest, they discover the remains of a campfire and 2 corpses, Krivonyshenko and Doroshenko. Krivonyshenko has burns on his leg and a bite mark on his hand. Doroshenko has a bloody nose and ears, bruises, cuts, and contusions. All indications are that they tried to climb one of the pine trees. The rescuers found 2 more bodies, those of Dyatlov, the expedition leader, 300 yards from the tree, and Kolmogorova, 600 yards away. Dyatlov has abrasions around his ankles and a gash on his palm. The rescuers then discover Slobodin's body. He has bruises and scratches from hand-to-hand combat and blunt force injuries. An initial investigation concludes that the deaths were due to hypothermia. It will take another 2 months to find Dubinina, Kolevatov, Thibaut Brignol, and Zolotaryov under 4 meters of snow in a ravine. They are dressed in the clothes of their previously found comrades. Zolotaryov is difficult to identify even by his relatives. All four died very violently, ribs broken, skulls smashed in, tongues and eyes gouged out. First findings. The trauma to the bodies are so great, it could not have been caused by humans alone. They are similar to those found on victims of car accidents. Also, the victim's clothing is radioactive. Obviously, they didn't die of simple hypothermia. The findings of the investigation are astonishing. The hikers seem to have been killed by an unknown irresistible force. What kind of irresistible force could it be? From 1959 onwards, the craziest suppositions are made, while documents related to the investigation are quickly classified as a national security secret, and the area put off limits. Popular theories take over from an expeditious investigation, far too expeditious to be effective and beyond suspicion. Some believe that the local Mansi people attacked and killed the hikers in retaliation for the incursion into their territory. Others believe that Zolotaryov was responsible for the massacre. Because he was not identifiable, some believe that he passed someone off as himself before fleeing. It was also thought that the expedition had strayed into a military test zone and had witnessed secret Soviet operations. It therefore needed to be eliminated. The most likely explanation is that an avalanche buried the camp, hence the injuries. To get out of their tent, the hikers would have had to tear it apart from the inside. Already in a state of hypothermia, they would have made crazy decisions, like leaving without equipment or shoes. They would have split up in the darkness, and four would have fallen into a ravine before being buried. This rational explanation is reassuring, but it doesn't fit with certain details. Like the fact that no evidence of an avalanche was found. And it doesn't explain the radioactivity of the clothes. Nor does it explain the fact that a group hiking 30 miles away claims to have seen strange orange spheres in the sky that night. Many people at the time reported such activity. In fact, none of the 75 explanations that have been issued take into account the totality of the comments. So, were the hikers attacked by wild animals? By a yeti, as a Discovery Channel investigator claimed in 2014? Did they get into an argument? Would they have walked in on secret military exercises? Were they attacked by aliens? Were they victims of a terrorist action sponsored by the commanders of the many gulags in the region? In 1990, Lev Ivanov, who led the official investigation in 1959, published an article in which he made revelations. It was he who, at the time, concluded that an unknown, irresistible force had intervened. He now claims to have received direct orders from the senior administration to stop the investigation, to keep several pieces of information secret, and to disregard certain elements in his conclusions. In particular, the famous flying spheres and radioactivity. He is a supporter of the UFO hypothesis. Another theory is that the hikers may have been victims of infrasound. These are low-frequency sound waves that are usually imperceptible to the human ear. Indeed, the violent movements of air masses triggered by storms produce very disturbing and even unbearable infrasound. The pain would have driven the hikers mad, who would have left their tents and run into the snow, where they would have frozen to death. In 2019, an investigation was reopened at the request of some of the victims' families. 60 years after the events, it confirms the avalanche theory. It seems that the authorities want to close the case and are little interested in providing definite answers to the disturbing questions raised by the terrible deaths on the Dyatlov Pass. Perhaps it is also to deter hikers who still venture up the Kolat Syakl. Today, it is reasonable to believe that the 9 hikers froze to death after leaving their tent. What remains unclear is why they left this safe shelter, the obvious bulwark against the relentless cold and therefore against death. What frightened them, or made them go out barefoot and without enough warm clothes? Other oddities resist interpretation. What caused the fractures? Did the hikers fight? With whom? Why did the authorities close the case so quickly at the time? Many questions have not yet been answered. The mystery remains unresolved in spite of investigations, official and unofficial, which have gone on for 60 years. Faced with the failure of rational explanations, other explanations are being developed which do not all seem insane. Some even seem more and more realistic. After all, aren't there phenomena in this world that defy all rationality? Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.